We have already, a number of us, been together through the series, the first half of the series on freedom, the magnificent miracle of freedom. Now we're getting into the practicality. But I want to remind you of a couple of definitions if you were with us, and I want to tell them to you if you weren't. Here's what we talked about. Slavery. Here's how we're defining slavery. Being mastered by anything or anyone besides the one who sets us free. It's Christ who sets us free. And so what we're learning is that freedom means that we don't have any area of sin ruling over us. It doesn't mean I don't sin. Being free in Christ doesn't mean that I've been made perfect. What it means is that for any one of us walking in freedom, we do not have an area of sin that is reigning and ruling over us, that's wearing a crown over our lives. So freedom is no sin or deceit having dominion over me. Now I want to describe and define a stronghold. And I want to get it in the most basic possible terms when it says, and I'm in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power. Everybody say divine power.
Divine power.
I mean, that's divine power to destroy strongholds, destroy them. Some of your translations say demolish, and I love that word, demolish strongholds. A stronghold in its most basic form is any trade-off for God. Any trade-off for God. That's a stronghold. Anything that has come up to rule or to reign, anything that has risen up in our lives bigger than God and bigger than the knowledge of God, anything that's gotten into our imaginations where it's gotten so big. Let me just think in terms of unforgiveness. When we fixate, anybody ever had just a stronghold of unforgiveness where it just goes through your mind over and over and over again? An event in our past. It could have been 25 years ago, but it becomes a stronghold when it is so risen up in our minds, gotten such a preoccupation from us in our thinking that we are just subject to it over and over and over again. And it becomes that trade-off for that which is ruling over us. It becomes a god to us. I want you to see where it talks about the weapons of our warfare. Notice in verse 3 when it says, we are not waging war according to the flesh. That word war or warfare in some of your translations, that's the most interesting word. I want to spell it to you in the Greek, in the original language. This is going to be, if any of you are like Greek nerds, you'll like this. This will be the lexical form of the word. But I want you to write it down, even though you may be thinking, that what does that have to do with the English? Well, a lot. And I want you to see it. So the word warfare or war right here in the ESV, it's spelled this way in the Greek lexical form. Are you ready? S-T-R-A-T-E-I-A. I want to spell it again, S-T-R-A-T-E-I-A, strateia, strateia. What word do you see? Strategy. Strategy. It is a plan of attack. It's a military campaign. Now, here's what I want to say to you as we start this practical application of our freedom. We have house plans. We have all sorts of vacation plans. We have business plans. We have all sorts of plans. We plan where we're going to eat. We plan where we're going to go and do business. We make all of these plans. But I ask you today, do you have a plan of attack against demonic principalities that come against the believer? See, because we've got a plan for everything else. But what the Word of God is telling us here is that what we need is a plan. That there is a strategy for us being victorious in our warfare. And I promise you, because it's talking about the warfare we're into with the enemy and with things that just rise up in our imagination and take over our thinking. And I want to promise you that the enemy has a plan. He has a plan. We know that. In fact, the word in Ephesians chapter 6, when it's talking about putting on the whole armor of God because of the schemes of the evil one, that word schemes in the Greek is methodeia, which means method. He has got a method to his madness. We have got to have a plan of attack, a strategy for attack. And so here's what I want to tell you. I want you, you're very close to it. Leave something here in 2 Corinthians because we'll be there continually. But go to 1 Corinthians just a moment, to chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Flip there for just a moment. We're thinking strategies. Strategies for our warfare. They can't be of flesh and blood. They've got to be things that are thought in the spiritual realm, things of the spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to read verses 25 and 26 to you. They say this, this is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. It says in verse 26, this is key. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control. I'm reading 27. Lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Look at that again. I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. The first part of our strategy has to be this. We have to aim. We have to aim. If you and I want to be victorious over strongholds that have come up against us, what we have to understand is this. You may struggle with one thing and I struggle with another. We talk to another person sitting at our table. She deals with something altogether different, and her husband, something entirely different from her. That's the way of warfare, because our bait, what the enemy is doing with us, is seeing if he can set our bait in such a way that we would be vulnerable. So he's looking for what we're going to bite. So that's why my temptations are going to be different than yours. The kind of things that I'm going to go for and be most tempted toward are going to be different than yours. So we have to come up with a strategy, some kind of plan. We've got to aim. Now, here's what I want to tell you. I want to encourage you that no matter what you are going through, what comes upon you to try to defeat you, whatever it is, you can find scriptures that speak to it. And I mean, start going on a hunt. The hunt itself will bless you, and it'll bless me because we're in the scriptures. But let me tell you, the Word of God is full of scriptures that speak to very specific things. If they don't get really specific, they can be enough in that category to where it still becomes very empowering to you. Let me throw out a couple of examples. You want to be able to go to the Word of God if you've got, if where your area of attack or defeat is in sexual temptation, if it's in paralyzing fear, if it's in intimidation or weakness, say it's in financial collapse of some kind, business dealings, maybe your marriage is just like going belly up, you need so much help in your child raising, maybe you're a teacher or you're a leader. I am telling you, whatever it is, there are scriptures that speak to those exact kinds of temptations, those exact kind of challenges. You can find them. One of the best places to look in the Old Testament is to just start going through Psalms and Proverbs. Start looking for the way that the psalmist is going to pray and call out to God. Start looking for the way Proverbs talks about how to go through times of temptation and times of seduction. And here's what we're going to do. Whenever we pull together the scripture and prayer, it is like we have pulled together two sticks of dynamite and we have tied them together and we have lit them by the Holy Spirit. Is anybody stepping in that with me? Nothing is more powerful than praying the scriptures. Now, if you ask me today, because what I'm doing now, listen, go to other teachers, go to other people that have gone through these kinds of things and really been in the pages of scripture about what has worked with them to bring them victory. I can only tell you my story. They can tell you theirs. Go find out, interview people and ask them. But I'm going to tell you my story, because for me, if somebody asked me today, do you always pray scripture? No, I don't always pray anyway. I pray all sorts of different ways. I talk conversationally. Other times, yesterday morning when I got up, for one of my habits is that I get up and pretty well, I turn on the coffee pot and pretty well right then, I'm going to just go face down on the floor. That's just my thing with Him. It just starts right there. And for whatever reason, I went into the Lord's Prayer. I've not said the Lord's Prayer in months, but I did yesterday morning. And then I just went into my regular prayers. I don't pray a certain way anytime. I just pray. Sometimes I journal. Sometimes sometimes I'm up on my feet. It's just whatever. I have a relationship that's a living, breathing thing, just like you do. But if I am fighting something that is just hellacious, if I know the enemy is in the thing, if he is getting victory, this is going to be my way of doing it. Every time, when I know I am getting defeated, when I know he is getting the upper hand, or let me tell you another reason I might do it. If it's getting long, if it's getting long, if it's been years now that you've been praying for that person, years now that you've been praying over that matter, then what happens is this. When we pull the scriptures into it, we are rolling the burden over on the scriptures. We're not just having to come up with our own words. We now have the verbiage that has already been pre-approved. I need somebody to get excited with me. Pre-approved in the scriptures. Do we need an example? Let's get one. Turn with me to Psalm 18. Let's just throw this one out real quickly. Okay, I'm not even going to go to 18 yet. You go to 18 because I'm heading your direction. But I'm seeing something on the page as I get there. And so I want to give you a perfect example. Okay, here recently, Keith was out of town. Our alarm was not working and none of my dogs were home. And, you know, I just live out in the country. And so I usually have all of those things, and we don't ever have a time when the alarm doesn't work and all of that. And so I just, you know, I was just in that situation. And so I opened my Bible to this, to Psalm 4, and it says at the very end of Psalm 4 in verse 8, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Anybody get what I'm saying to them? Because that's what I needed that night. I just wanted to lay down and go to sleep in peace, and I did. I did. But I wanted to have that assurance in my heart. You know, I just laid it out open on my bed because I just thought, you know, just in case the enemy needs to see. I think I've ever told this at Life Today before, but one of the things I'll do at a conference is that I leave my Bible open when I get real sleepy, like if I've taught all Friday evening and I have to teach on Saturday morning and I'm not going to get a lot of sleep. It's just going to be about 6 hours. But I'll leave my notes open and my Bible open in case the Lord needs to work on it while I'm asleep, because I'm exhausted here. You don't even need a wink of sleep. I'm so tired. And I'm going to get up in the morning, and if you've got anything to tell me on it, just do. You know what I'm saying? But so I just laid this out, and I slept. I slept. I'm not, of course, it's not a genie in a bottle, but I'm just telling you, it's a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. Okay, let me just go Psalm 18. I just want you to look at some of this, because listen, this is what I'm talking about here. Look, if this doesn't do it for you, I'm going to go to the very first verse. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. You know what I'd start saying right there? Because by the time I'm getting hit with warfare, I'm starting to talk out loud. Because the enemy can, I don't believe that the Bible supports any thought whatsoever that the enemy can read our minds. We are sealed unto the day of our redemption, sealed. So when we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. We are sealed. The Holy Spirit is not leaving and nothing else is getting in. But he knows us so well, and he's been around man so long, he knows how to tailor make our temptations. But I want, if I'm having a difficult time with him, I want to make sure he hears me. Anybody? So that's when I'm probably not going to just journal. That's when I'm probably going to get up on my feet. And I'm going to get up early in the morning when nobody else is up. And I'm going to start strutting across the floor and going, "My God is my deliverer. And you need to know my God is my deliverer." I love this. Listen how this goes. It says in verse 4, "The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry reached to his ears." I want you to hear as it says that God came in such mercy. Look in verse 16. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, who were too mighty for me. The Lord, they confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. I love the verse that it says in verse 19, He brought me out to a broad place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. He delighted in me. Try that on. Try that on. If our prayer lives are going to be tantamount to, Lord, help us and bless us. You know, that's good. I believe that when we are just out of words, there's nothing more powerful than God, help me. Mm-hmm. But what Paul is talking about is taking aim. He said, I'm not beating the air. I am looking at exactly what the problem is. This, I have got hatred in my heart to someone. I have got unforgiveness in my heart to someone. I need to attack that thing. This is the target. That is where I am going to fight my battle. Right there. Aim. Take aim.